Good morning. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. It's Monday, April 22nd, 2024. Here's what's coming up on America in the Morning.
The political and financial implications of the hush money trial for former President Donald Trump.
We believe we have a winning case.
I'm Clayton Neville.
Foreign aid to Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific finally passes the House, but could it cost House Speaker Mike Johnson his job? I'm John Stolnitz in Washington.
Tensions continue to rise at universities across the country over the Israel-Hamas war. I'm Pamela Furr.
Birthday party tragedy in Michigan. Tell you what happened.
On Wall Street, stocks may churn a little this week, investors waiting for the latest on inflation. That doesn't come till Friday. I'm Jessica Ettinger.
The Republican National Committee's been filing lawsuits in a number of states to challenge election laws and their administration. I'm Jackie Quinn.
And feet firmly planted on the ground, it's Earth Day. All ahead on America in the Morning. Opening arguments are slated to begin this morning in the criminal hush money trial against former President Donald Trump, and so is the financial fallout as his legal costs are taking a large bite out of his campaign donations. Correspondent Clayton Neville reports that despite a weekend event canceled because of weather, Trump continues to talk about the case.
There's no doubt the high-profile trials against former President Donald Trump are putting a dent in his wallet, and we'll get to that. But what about the political fallout? Is there any, as opening arguments begin in a trial involving allegations that Trump paid off a porn star over an alleged affair? This, the only of four cases against Trump expected to go to trial before the November presidential election. He, of course, is the Republican frontrunner. His lawyers say they're confident as the trial ramps up in New York City. Attorney Will Scharf spoke with Fox News Sunday.
As long as the jury focuses on the facts, as long as the jury can see through all the media coverage and all the sensationalism and focus on the actual facts at issue in this case, we believe we have a winning case.
Trump, who spent much of the campaign season in a courtroom, is still campaigning, oftentimes speaking to reporters and using the chance to go after his opponent.
The leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by line. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done and his family.
President Biden's been on the campaign trail while the legal process plays out for the man he beat in 2020.
He learned that paying taxes was something people who work for a living did, not him. He learned that telling people you're fired was something to laugh about. I guess that's how you look at the world when you're in Park Avenue, Mar-a-Lago.
The political implications of the hush money trial to be determined. But how much is all of this costing the former president? Trump has spent tens of millions of dollars on legal fees, and new numbers reportedly show that he spent $4 million alone in March. He's said to have less than $10 million set aside for legal fees left and could essentially rely on the Republican Party and or big-time donors for help if it comes to it. I'm Clayton Neville.
The House of Representatives has passed a $95 billion foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific region, but it could come at a great political cost for House Speaker Mike Johnson. John Stolnitz has more on the bill and potential political fallout.
On this vote, the ayes are 311 and the nays are 112. The bill is passed.
In a rare Saturday session, the House took separate votes on foreign aid, that vote a second ago, to continue funding Ukraine's war effort against Russia. After the vote, some lawmakers waved Ukrainian flags on the House floor. One of the fiercest critics of sending aid to Ukraine, Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, apoplectic following the vote.
This is the sellout of America today. When we had members of Congress in there waving the Ukrainian flag on the United States House of Representatives floor, while we're doing nothing to secure our border, I think every American in this country should be furious.
In all, $61 billion will go to Ukraine. Aid to Israel and Taiwan also saw broad bipartisan support. Everything that passed will now be bound together and sent to the Senate as one bill. Speaker Johnson on why he pushed the House to act.
Three of our primary adversaries, Russia and Iran and China, are working together, and they're being aggressors around the globe. And they're a global threat to our prosperity and our security.
Republican Congressman Chip Roy not happy Speaker Johnson pursued foreign aid apart from a revamped border security bill.
Unfortunately, without border security, I can't go back to the people I represent and say, hey, we're doing nothing for you for the border. But here's another $95 billion for foreign aid. I can't support that.
Republicans Thomas Massey and Paul Gosar have joined Green on that motion. Congressman Massey urging Speaker Johnson to resign. Johnson telling reporters following the vote that he's not worrying about his future.
I don't walk around this building being worried about a motion to vacate. I have to do my job.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky praising Congress for the much-needed assistance.
First of all, I'd like to say thanks to the Congress for the bipartisan support. And I'd like to say thanks to Speaker Johnson.
The bill likely will easily pass the Senate, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on Fox News Sunday.
This idea, give up on Ukraine makes the world safer. If you pull the plug on Ukraine because you don't have enough capability, there goes Taiwan.
The House also passed a bill that would force the company that owns TikTok to sell it or face a national ban. John Stolness, Washington.
Jewish students fear anti-Semitic violence on college campuses. We'll have that and more when America in the Morning continues after these messages.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
It's been a wet weather weekend in the South. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. Let's get you caught up on the national weather picture. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton with the outlook.
The South should generally dry out to begin the new week following several inches of rain that fell on portions of Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas into Sunday. However, the risk for dangerous weather shifts into parts of Central and South Florida today, especially on the Atlantic side of the peninsula. In these areas, thunderstorms will be capable of turning severe, with hail, intense downpours, and damaging winds all possible from east of Orlando to Sebring, the Miami area, and east of Cape Coral. In the west, the spring scorcher of recent days has peaked for most places, as areas such as Palm Springs and Thermal, where temperatures approached the triple digits on Sunday, only reached the mid-90s today. Look for dry conditions through most of the western United States, with a sprawling zone of high pressure well in place. Farther to the east over the nation's center, a storm will push its way out of southern Canada and track across areas from the northern and central plains to the northeast into Wednesday, bringing showers for most places. However, the risk for thunderstorms develops around the Great Lakes Tuesday afternoon. Otherwise, in the north and the east, strong high pressure builds across the region today, supporting the risk for frost both this morning and Thursday morning. This morning's frost risk extends from Minnesota and Iowa eastward through Wisconsin, Michigan, and Ohio, eastern sections of Kentucky, along with the mountains of North Carolina and through the interior northeast from West Virginia through Pennsylvania and New York and into northern and central New England as well. In Dallas, look for a sunny and nice day with a high reaching 72. Minneapolis, on the other hand, faces a cloudier Monday with a passing afternoon shower and a high of 61. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
You can follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. I'm John Trout. A rabbi associated with Columbia University is telling Jewish students to go home following confrontational pro-Palestinian protests on campus, including one where police made over 100 arrests. Pamela Furr reports that violence against Jewish students is spreading to other universities.
In a WhatsApp message to hundreds of Jewish students, the rabbi saying they should go home immediately, since Columbia University's Public Safety Department and the NYPD cannot guarantee their safety.
Yes!
This after protests broke out after the school's president was grilled on Capitol Hill about anti-Semitism on campus. Just last week, at least 100 demonstrators were arrested, with the Department of Education launching an investigation in the incident. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
Columbia University students have a proud history of protests and raising their voices. Students have a right to free speech, but do not have a right to violate university policies and disrupt learning on campus.
Meanwhile, a massive new anti-Israel tent city has taken over the university. 30 tents across the Ivy League school's west lawn, with protesters saying they'll stay there forever if they have to. Anti-Jewish sentiment on college campuses is rising in America, with several national anti-Israel groups threatening to seize more universities this week. And over the weekend, there was a Jewish Yale student who was jabbed in the eye with a flagpole by a protester. I'm Pamela Furr.
A suspected drunk driver plowed her car into a building at a boat club in Monroe County, Michigan, that killed two young children, injuring more than a dozen people. The Monroe County Sheriff's Department says a 66-year-old sped through a parking lot careening into a building where a birthday party was being held. The force of the impact sent the car about 25 feet into the structure, where a brother and sister, ages 5 and 8, were attending the party and were hit and killed. Some of the injured were transported by helicopter with life-threatening injuries. The driver was taken into custody. More details about the incident are expected to be released later today. When we return on America in the Morning, China's hold on U.S. consumer data. After these messages. Welcome back. This is America in the Morning. The Business Report is sponsored by Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, always putting clients' interests first. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. On how markets are expected to open today, we'll pick up with last week's close. Here's CNBC's Jessica Ettinger.
Wall Street opens this morning after the S&P 500 index and the NASDAQ were down on Friday, and that's their longest losing streak now since October of 2022. The NASDAQ was down 319 points on Friday, dragged lower by shares of NVIDIA, down 10%, and Netflix, down 9%.
We had an incredible steady rise from last October, but a little bit of softening is certainly not unhealthy for the market.
Wharton professor Jeremy Siegel on CNBC. But investors are looking forward to what's to come this week.
A big week for investors to balance the concern about the Fed, inflation, earnings, and the economy. We get GDP, which is pushing close to 3%, the Atlanta Fed GDP now, and the Fed's preferred inflation indicator, the PCE, along with a surge in earnings. We get about a third of the Dow in the S&P.
CNBC senior economics reporter Steve Leisman. Now, the PCE on Friday, that's going to be the latest on inflation, the personal consumption expenditures report. It's the Fed's favorite measure of it.
I think the number is going to be fine. I mean, I think it's going to be 2.7, 2.8, and I think the market would be fine with that.
That's Hightower's Stephanie Link on CNBC. Bitcoin in that reset. The halving means the miners who chisel Bitcoins out of a complex mathematics scheme are taking a 50% pay cut now. It slices all the new production in half, written in the original code, limiting the number of new Bitcoins entering the market. Only 21 million Bitcoins will ever exist, and nearly 20 million have already been mined.
China says they're not controlling TikTok, but there may be evidence contrary to that.
Yeah, TikTok is that video clip app sitting on the phones of more than half of all Americans, owned by ByteDance, which says it's not controlled by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. But then late last week, Apple, an American company, said it was ordered by China to pull Facebook parent Meta apps off the Apple App Store in China. And some are seeing that as retaliation for U.S. lawmakers trying to fast track a forced sale or outright ban of TikTok in the U.S. The app gives China access to the personal data and influence over a large part of the American population, yet China wouldn't allow similar U.S. apps on the phones of its citizens.
In my view, this is an important and appropriate action, given the national security threats that are real. Access to U.S. applications in China already in place. You can't get certain social media applications like Facebook or Google in China.
Kara Journey, President Anish Chopra on CNBC. He's the former U.S. Chief Technology Officer. On today's watch list, earnings are coming from Verizon and Albertsons, and we find out how business executives are feeling about the economy and its Earth Day.
Yes, it is. Thank you. CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. The theme of this year's Earth Day and what environmentalists are attempting to tackle when America in the Morning continues after these messages. Welcome back. America in the Morning continues. More election-related lawsuits are coming into play in a number of key states long before the presidential vote this year, correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
A senior advisor to Donald Trump's campaign, Danielle Alvarez, says lawsuits are a priority this year for the Republican National Committee. She says it's important to the former president, who wants the litigation done year-round. The Republican National Committee, newly reconstituted under Donald Trump, has filed election-related lawsuits in nearly half of the states, including Michigan and Nevada, where the maintenance of voter rolls is being challenged. Democrats and legal experts are warning all these lawsuits could overwhelm election officials and undermine voter confidence in the election outcome. The Democratic National Committee says it's investing tens of millions of dollars to increase voter protections. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Earth Day has arrived, and as correspondent Julie Walker reports, this year's global theme is planet versus plastic.
For Judith Enk, every day is Earth Day. As president of Beyond Plastics, which works to end plastic pollution, she lives by the theme planet versus plastic and says most of it is buried, burned, or dumped.
Only 5 to 6% of plastics are recyclable in the United States. So your key tip is to try to avoid plastic wherever you can.
Instead of a plastic bag of baby carrots, she buys a fresh bunch and even buys her peanut butter in recyclable glass jars.
A trip to any American supermarket is a little bit of a plastics disaster.
Enk says while it's hard to avoid plastic, be conscious and cut back with substitutes. Julie Walker, New York.
America in the Morning for Monday, April 22nd, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Senior producer Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. Coming up this half hour.
Opening arguments slated to begin in the Trump hush money trial. I'm Clayton Neville.
House members are openly vowing to trigger a House rule to vote Speaker Mike Johnson out. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Iran's supreme leader has acknowledged that Tehran has hit little in its massive attack on Israel. I'm Karen Chamas.
An 18-year-old woman was shot and killed on the campus of Delaware State University. I'm Julie Walker.
Remembering America's longest held hostage. And this definitely wasn't part of the tour.
Home cooking in the NBA and NHL playoff openers. I'm Robert Workman.
Vampires and Nazi hunters failed to topple a civil war at the box office this weekend. I'm Kevin Carr.
Back after these messages. Welcome back. This is America in the Morning. Florida expecting thunderstorms this afternoon, but a wide swath of the nation is still under frost and freeze warnings as they wake up today. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
As strong high pressure builds across much of the east, the spring chill seems likely to produce the best risk for frost both this morning and again Thursday morning. This morning's frost risk extends from eastern Minnesota and Iowa through much of Wisconsin, nearly all of Michigan and Ohio, eastern Kentucky, and the high ground of western North Carolina, through West Virginia, most of Pennsylvania and New York State, and into northern and central New England, with an even larger area at risk on Wednesday night, this time including the Baltimore and Washington, D.C. areas, as well as most of New Jersey and Rhode Island, along with the Boston area. In between these two events, a disturbance will take shape over southern Canada and swing through the northern and central plains, the Midwest, and the Northeast through Wednesday, bringing showers to start the week, and even the risk for thunderstorms around the Great Lakes Tuesday afternoon through this zone. The south, on the other hand, can mostly dry out to start the week after several inches of rain fell on parts of Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana into Sunday, but the risk for active weather remains over parts of central and south Florida today, mainly on the Atlantic side of the Florida Peninsula, where thunderstorms may be able to turn severe today, bringing hail, intense downpours, and damaging winds to cities from Melbourne to Miami and just east of Naples. In the west, the spring scorcher of recent days tapers off a bit today, as cities such as Palm Springs and Thermal that had temperatures approach the century mark on Sunday dip into the mid-90s instead. However, we can expect dry conditions across most of the region beneath another large area of high pressure. That's the weather across America. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
Follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. I'm John Trout. A full jury is seated for former President Donald Trump's criminal case in New York. Correspondent Clayton Neville says opening arguments are slated to begin today in a trial expected to last about 6 weeks.
The trial related to falsifying records charges connected to alleged hush money payments by former President Donald Trump to porn star Stormy Daniels. Those payments are said to have been made before the 2016 presidential election and years after an alleged sexual encounter between Daniels and Trump that Trump denies. In fact, he calls the whole thing a hoax and refers to it as election interference as he runs for the presidency in November.
You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess.
The trial is certainly a high-profile one, catching global attention. Friday, a man set himself on fire outside the courthouse.
The pamphlet seemed to be propaganda-based, almost like a conspiracy theory type of pamphlet. Some information in regards to Ponzi schemes and the fact that some of our local educational institutes are front for the mob.
Police in New York said the man died over the weekend. And as for the trial, two prospective jurors reportedly broke down in tears last week, citing anxiety over the case. But eventually, a full panel of jurors and alternates was selected. And the judge in the case also denied a request to delay the trial by Trump's attorneys.
This case should have obviously never have been brought. It certainly shouldn't be tried in New York, the media capital of the world, at the height of election season. We've moved to recuse the judge. We've moved for a change of venue. There are a lot of aspects of this case that are highly, highly irregular, and we saw that play out with jury selection last week.
Trump lawyer Will Scharf spoke with Fox News Sunday and was asked about potential witnesses in the case, like former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen.
This is a man who's been found liable for perjury by a number of courts previously, and I think that's going to be a key theme here.
Prosecutor Alvin Bragg alleges Trump falsified records to hide the money that he was allegedly paying to Michael Cohen to reimburse Daniels. Trump, the first former president to stand criminal trial, and all eyes on the courtroom this week with opening arguments. Trump's legal team says it'll focus on the facts, which lawyers insist are on Trump's side. I'm Clayton Neville.
While some mostly moderate members of the GOP are praising Mike Johnson, there are very loud calls by more conservative members to unseat the Speaker of the House for working with Democrats and pushing through bills on foreign aid. As correspondent Jackie Quinn reports, that includes Marjorie Taylor Greene, who now says that Johnson must either resign or be ousted as Speaker.
Given what you said, do Republicans deserve to be in the majority?
That's up to the people, because this is the third betrayal by Mike Johnson.
The yeas are 311 and the nays are 112. The bill is passed.
Several conservative House members are openly vowing to trigger a House rule to vote Speaker Mike Johnson out of his leadership role.
Speaker Johnson said in January, if President Biden wants a supplemental spending bill focused on national security, it better begin with defending America's national security. We want to get the border closed and secured first. To that, I say amen. And where is that, Speaker Johnson?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Not to secure our own border that is invaded every single day.
Дякую особисто спікеру
Michael Johnson.
While the president of Ukraine is thanking House Speaker Mike Johnson for allowing the passage of bills that provide funding for Ukraine, Israel, and other allies, some of Johnson's GOP colleagues are furious.
I do not support Mike Johnson. He's already a lame duck.
Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene vows to oust the speaker, while Texas Republican Mike McCall says Johnson did the right thing.
We were running out of time. Ukraine's getting ready to fall.
He spoke on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos and says the speaker should not be pushed out.
When the motion to vacate is threatened every week in the Congress, that is being abused. And I think we need to fix that.
Johnson, after Saturday's vote, said he did his job and he's not worried.
As I've said many times, I don't walk around this building being worried about a motion to vacate. I have to do my job. We did. I've done here what I believe to be the right thing, and that is to allow the House to work its will. And as I've said, you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may.
The funding bills now head to the Senate. I'm Jackie Quinn.
The leadership of Iran has publicly announced for the first time that their unprecedented attack against Israel, using over 300 drones and missiles, yielded only minor damage. That comes after an Israeli fighter jet launched a more than one-ton missile directed at a military site near an Iranian nuclear facility. Correspondent Karen Chamas reports this comes as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in a video message released to his nation before the Passover holiday begins, says due to Hamas stalling the recent hostage negotiations, the Israeli military will accelerate its plans to invade Rafah and bring those captives home.
Speaking on state TV, Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, dismissed any discussion of whether Tehran's unprecedented drone and missile attack on Israel hit anything there. He said comments from Israel on how many missiles were fired and what targets were hit were of secondary importance. The comments are a tacit acknowledgement that despite launching a massive assault, few projectiles actually made it through to their targets. Iran's attack came in response to a suspected Israeli strike on the 1st of April, targeting a consular building next to the Iranian embassy in Damascus, which killed two guard generals and others. Analysts believe both Iran and Israel are trying to dial back tensions. I'm Karen Chamas.
Coming up on America in the Morning, Tesla's new EV pricing amid a global workforce layoff. Back after these messages. I'm John Trout. Welcome back. This is America in the Morning. Authorities are investigating the shooting death of an 18-year-old woman on the campus of Delaware State University. Correspondent Julie Walker has the latest.
An 18-year-old woman was shot and killed on the campus of Delaware State University around 1:30 a.m. Sunday.
Delaware State University police received a call for shots fired outside of one of their dormitories. They responded to the area and located an 18-year-old female from Wilmington that had sustained a gunshot wound to her upper body. They rendered aid to her. She was later transported to Bay Health Kent campus, where she was pronounced deceased as a result of the shooting.
Ryan Schmid with the Dover Police Department says they are investigating along with campus police, but she was not a student.
They had an event this weekend. I believe it was called a spring fling. I'm not sure if she was there for that or if she had a friend that attends the university that she was visiting. I'm not sure if she was there for an event. I haven't been able to verify that, if she was there for the event or if she was just there visiting one of her friends that attends the university.
The victim was found near a freshman dorm. The university says in a statement the campus was closed on Sunday. Events were canceled and police patrols were being increased and counseling was being offered. I'm Julie Walker.
Terry Anderson, the Associated Press correspondent who became one of America's longest-held hostages after he was snatched from a street in war-torn Lebanon and held for nearly 7 years, has died. In 1985, Anderson, who was the AP chief Middle East correspondent, became one of several Westerners abducted by members of the terrorist group Hezbollah during a time of war that had plunged Lebanon into chaos. At the time of his kidnapping, Anderson was among very few Westerners in Lebanon, which was dealing with religious violence and ongoing skirmishes with Israel. Anderson would later write a book about his captivity called Den of Lions. He passed away at his upstate New York home at the age of 76. Some Alaska National Guard staffing changes are being placed on hold, at least for the time being. Lisa Dwyer tells us why.
The Air National Guard has delayed some personnel changes in Alaska because the changes could threaten national security and civilian rescue missions. The Guard is delaying any changes until at least September 2025. Alaska Guard leaders say the planned status change of 80 highly paid staff members to technicians would have jeopardized their ability to monitor for ballistic missile launches, refuel U.S. and Canadian fighter jets who escort Russian bombers that get too close to North America, and would hinder civilian rescues in the nation's most remote state. Last year, the Guard conducted 159 rescues, many in Alaska Native communities that have no roads and no air service during violent storms. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Well, this was certainly not part of the tour. A tram operated by Universal Studios in Hollywood crashed, leaving 15 people with various injuries, all of which were non-life-threatening. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department says the collision, which happened on the site's back lot when the vehicle struck a guardrail, caused people to fall out when it tilted. A team from the California Highway Patrol was called in to assist. They determined the accident was not due to a mechanical failure. An investigation into what caused the mishap is underway. America in the Morning continues. Tesla has posted new pricing for its EVs and its self-driving software amid a 10% global workforce layoff. Here's Chuck Palm with that in today's Tech Report.
Tesla has announced major price cuts in Germany, China, and the United States as it grapples with falling sales and intensifying price wars. Tesla reported this month that global vehicle deliveries in the first quarter fell for the first time in nearly 4 years. Tesla cut the starting price and revamped the Model 3 in China, lowering the price by 14,000 Chinese yuan, or $1,900.33. In Germany, the Model 3 rear-wheel drive was lowered to $43,600, where it has remained since February. In addition, Model Y, X, and S were lowered by $2,000, and on Saturday, Tesla announced that the full self-driver assistant software from $12,000 to $8,000 in the United States. All this amidst the 10% global workforce layoff and an announcement on April 5th that Tesla had scrapped cheaper EVs in favor of robo-taxis. Musk posted on X later that day that Reuters is lying. For more tech news, visit allthetoptech.tech. I'm Chuck Palm.
Monday Sports is in with our Robert Workman.
NBA Sunday 4 first-round playoff series got underway. The Celtics went wire-to-wire, turning down the Heat 114-94. Jason Tatum with a triple-double.
It was real simple, just making the right play. And we talk about all the time not getting bored with making the right play, finding the mismatch, drawing two, and, surround yourself with shooters.
Miami was without the injured Jimmy Butler. Bucks, no Giannis Antetokounmpo, no problem. They pounded the Pacers, leading by as many as 30. Damian Lillard scored 35 in the first half. Clippers sailed past the Mavericks. The only close call, the Thunder tipped the Pelicans 94-92. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander with 28, including the go-ahead basket in the final minute. Three game twos tonight. All eight game ones went to the home team over the weekend. Same vibe on the ice as all six NHL playoff series began, with wins for the good guys. Jets held on for a wild 7-6 victory over the Avalanche. Canucks scored three in the third to clip the Predators. Panthers got two in the third to edge the Lightning, and the Rangers ripped the Capitals. Tonight, game two in the East for the Islanders at the Hurricanes, as well as the Maple Leafs at the Bruins. And two West Series openers, the Kings at the Oilers and the defending champion Golden Knights at the top-seeded Stars. Baseball, the Dodgers drubbed the Mets 10-0. Tyler Glass now allowed 7 hits and fanned 10 in 8 innings. Shohei Ohtani hit his 176th home run, moving him past Hideki Matsui into first among Japanese-born players. Reds whitewashed the Angels, the bullpen stepping up after Frankie Montas was hit by a liner with two out in the first inning. Brewers blanked the Cardinals, 4 Milwaukee arms scattered 6 hits. Nationals wiped out the Astros, Mitchell Parker and the Parallels with a 4-hitter. Orioles shut out the Royals, a 5-hitter for Cole Irvin and the Grills. Guardians swept out the A's, giving them the best record in the majors at 16-6 and their best start since 1999. Red Sox buried the Pirates, Pittsburgh has dropped 6 straight. Phillies wiped out the White Sox for their 6th win in a row. Wins for the Rangers and Diamondbacks, Tigers and Padres, Yankees and Marlins, plus the Mariners and Rockies split a pair. That's Monday Sports.
Thank you, Robert. When we return on America in the Morning, anti-Semitic violence grows on our nation's college campuses. Passover begins tonight. A closer look when America in the Morning continues after these messages. America in the Morning continues. The observance of Passover begins tonight, and its correspondent Walter Ratliff reports it's expected to be much more somber this year due to events in the Middle East.
Jews around the world will soon celebrate Passover, recounting the biblical story of their exodus from Egypt after hundreds of years of slavery. But this year, when Passover begins on Monday, many families are torn on how to celebrate.
I don't really understand how I can celebrate it right now.
Alon Gott's mother was killed, and his wife and sister were taken hostage in the Hamas attack of October 7th. His wife was returned, but his sister remains in Gaza.
We're just gonna sit and eat a normal dinner, because we can't really celebrate any freedom.
The Israeli government has also scaled back upcoming festivities in light of the mood and fearing public protests. Likewise, the Muslim sacred month of Ramadan, capped by a three-day feast, was a sad, low-key affair for Palestinians. I'm Walter Ratliff.
Slow weekend at the box office, even with war, spies, and ballerina vampires. Kevin Carr has details.
Civil War won the muted box office for the second weekend in a row.
You don't know what side they're fighting for.
Someone's trying to kill us. We are trying to kill them.
This speculative drama commanded $11 million over its sophomore weekend, which was enough to best a battalion of newcomers. The R-rated horror film Abigail was softer than expected with only $10 million, promising more than your basic vampire film.
We kidnapped a vampire. A ballerina vampire.
Classic kaijus continued to hold in third place with Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, smashing $9.5 million.
They don't have to like each other. We just have to work together.
Guy Ritchie's World War II actioner, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, failed to break into the double digits with only $9
million. Ooh, you're in trouble now!
This film, which is headed to streaming in international markets, will struggle to make back its budget in theaters. And finally, in fifth place, was Crunchyroll's Spy Family Code White.
You must retrieve the microfilm without fail.
This PG-13 anime episode in theaters managed to bring in just under $5 million over the weekend. This was a slow week overall, coming at the end of a challenging April, which saw an anemic release schedule due to last year's labor disputes. There's still one more week until the tentpoles start dropping in May. I'm Kevin Carr.
With more in entertainment, here's your Monday update from correspondent Margie Zaraletta.
The hotel near Mount Hood in Oregon that was filmed for the exteriors of the movie The Shining has reopened after the roof caught fire Thursday. Management for the Timberline Lodge says it is supporting guests while repairs are done. God made worse. Country singer Morgan Wallen says he accepts responsibility for his behavior 2 weeks ago, in which he was arrested for allegedly throwing a chair off the roof of a Nashville bar. Wallen writes on X, formerly Twitter, that he waited to speak publicly until he made amends. He's due in court May 3rd. And for a fortnight there we were. Taylor Swift's new album, The Tortured Poets Department, sold 1.4 million copies in traditional album sales in the first day, according to Billboard. Swift released the album Friday at midnight Eastern, then released 15 more songs 2 hours later. I'm Margie Zaraletta.
That's our show for today. America in the Morning for Monday, April 22nd, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay, senior producer Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.